I want to try and speak about our spirit, our soul, and our body. We are three beings, for want of a better word. Our spirits we cannot see. Our soul we cannot see. Our bodies we can. Some of us can see more of it than others. Breathe in, take it in, that's it, yeah. And so we can just see our bodies. Your body, for instance, feeds on organic material called food. Is that right? Yes. Even cream buns, isn't that right, David? I could see that, you know, that custard vanilla slice there, just in your eyes when I said food. So our bodies feed on food. And somehow that food gives us strength. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you know how it does it?
No.
No? So why do you eat? Because, well, yeah, that's one good reason. Your body tells you, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, Carol lets us know that when we're here on a Monday, Carol comes down and she brings this great big casserole dish of homemade, wonderful food. And when we smell it, we say, I'm hungry.
Amen.
And we devour it. So that just gives you an encouragement, you know, come down and help us.
Amen.
This beautiful homemade food on tap, you know, glory to God. And, you know, come and help, finish off after we've made. You see, the guys make a mess.
Yeah.
Every man makes a mess. And then the ladies come up and clean up afterwards. So come and be around, you know, don't leave it to just Grace and Joan. And I mean, thank you, Carol, for the food that you provide. That is really appreciated. It takes, again, the load off Grace, and that she doesn't have to do that. And, you know, a burden shared. It's, you know, it's hard. And we thank God for that. And we thank God for the workers that help us. Praise God. So our body eats food, and that food changes into strength and energy and muscles. How it does it, I'm clueless, really. But I know one thing. I have to do it every day. At least three times, if not four times a day. Hallelujah. You can tell, can't you? It's all the legs, you know. When you go out on a motorbike, it's fish and chips somewhere. Isn't that right, Bev? Bev was out on the motorbike on Thursday. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Glory to God. So we took her out on the motorcycle. Praise God. So our bodies are a design that God has caused to work in a mysterious and wonderful way. Within your body, there's a brain. Did you know that? There's a brain. It sits up here somewhere. We wear crash helmets to make sure we protect it just in case when we go out riding. Your soul or your mind. Now, your soul and your mind are not your brain, by the way. And we're going to do some digging through this. So we're going to kill some sacred cows, hopefully, over the next maybe week or two. So your soul, your mind, is not your brain. Okay, get that fixed. Your brain is here. Your soul and your mind feed off the information that you give it.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I've done this. Can you see that up there? Oh, good. So, as you can see, that there is your spirit. There's your soul, mind. There's your body, brain. Your spirit is the breath of God, the Creator, that was breathed into each and every one of us when we were born again.
Amen.
Right? You see, we were born in sin. We were born with a nature, a sinful nature in our lives. But when we become born again of God, God breathes again by His Holy Spirit a freshness, a new spirit into us. An incorruptible seed that God places within us. And that is His Spirit. He did that at the very beginning in Genesis with Adam. He breathed into him the breath of life. And you know, when we get saved and we come to Jesus, He breathes into us the breath of life. Isn't that right? There's been a life-changing experience for you. You had a life before Christ, but it was a miserable life. But when you came to Christ, He gave you a new life. Hallelujah. He gave you that new spirit. And you see, we have to feed our spirit. We have to feed our spirit on the most important thing for life, and that is God's Word.
Amen.
God's Word is what changes our lives. God's Word is what changes the very essence of our life in itself. It's done that with Louise. We see how the Word... Yeah, well, stop preaching me message. It's all right. She's in there before me. Glory to God. No, you have nothing to be sorry about. Nothing to be sorry about. Because that encourages me that you know what God is saying to you. You know where it's coming from. And so God breathes the Spirit. The breath of the Spirit of God is breathed into each and every one. The Creator has breathed into us. Just remember, the Creator has kissed you. Think about that one. Just think about that for a moment. When Adam was created, God came and kissed him.
He did.
Had to do to breathe life into him.
Yeah.
When we come to Christ, we are kissed by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And He breathes life into us. That shows us that He loves you.
Yeah.
You are special to God.
Amen.
His life breathed into you. You know, some of us have had a life that was in toil, pain, stressful, hurtful. And it sought to draw us and to pull us down and to destroy us. But the moment that we surrender to Christ,
Amen.
The Word says the old man is dead.
Yes.
The new man has come, kissed by the Father. Kissed by the Creator.
Amen.
A new purpose. A new future. A new hope. Hallelujah. The old one is dead. The new one has come. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. And that's what God has done within us. And so we find here that we are first born of the flesh. Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, we've just seen Joshua. He's born of the flesh. But we're all born of a fallen spirit, a fallen nature.
Yeah.
Which has to come to that place of being born again.
Yeah.
By the acknowledgement that we've all sinned. Every one of us.
Yeah.
We've sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We've come short of God's best. Yeah, God's not given up on us. He's not given up on you yet. He's calling your name. He wants to bring you into a newness of life. He wants to bring you into a new experience. Our fallen spirits cause us to sin. Daniel and Lisha are going to find that as Joshua begins to get his feet, they will not have to show Joshua how to do naughty things. He will do it automatically. Because within us is that fallen nature.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's a sinful boy, but that nature resides within us. And so, to deal with that, you see, what it shows is that none of us have to be taught to do naughty things, do we? You know, when you look at children, and some of you have seen many children, some of you had a good number of children, you look at them and you see, they just do naughty things. And you have to correct them from doing naughty things. You have to instill in them the goodness and the things of God into their lives that will guide them until they come to a point of understanding, when they then submit and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their lives. And then from that point on, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Word of God in a person's life. You don't train a child to do naughty things.
No.
They just do it. You know, that word, no. It's probably one of the first words the child hears, no. Don't touch. You know, the fire. When I was a child, we had open fires, so you used to put a fire guard around it. Do you remember those days? No, just me. Coal fire. Roasting at the front, freezing at the back. Can I turn me around, do the other side. That's what it used to be like. Is that right? And you know, now we've got gas fires or electric fires, and they're hot. And you know, a child will go towards it, attracted by something in it, and it wants to touch. And what did you do? He said, no. Pull the child away, and it seems to forget for a few moments. Then there he goes again. He said, no, come here, naughty. Bring it back. A few minutes later, off it goes again. Just about to put his hand in the fire. What do you do next? No, naughty. A little bit of pain to protect a lifetime of hurt. And sometimes, you know, we have to listen to God, and God might have to say to you, no, naughty. That's love. Love is not soft.
No.
Love is protecting. Love is caring. Love is giving. And sometimes we don't always appreciate what love gives to us.
No.
But it's there for our benefit. And so we need to realize how much God loves each and every one of us. We have to realize that the patterns that have been created in our brain are that which the body follows. Our brain, our things that we see create patterns within our brains. We ride our motorcycles and we ride with brain patterns. Most of the time when you drive your car, you don't think about what you are doing. They are just patterns that have been set up within you that now, when you get into your car, you know exactly where the key goes. You don't even think about it. Well, I have to do if I get into Grace's old car. I'm putting, it's down here, isn't it? You know, and vice versa. Where's the handbrake? Oh, it's here. No, it's under here. And those type of things. But once you're in and you're driving, it becomes a pattern. You don't think. Until you want to put the indicator on, and Grace's indicator's on the opposite side to mine. And so the next thing, we have wipers going across the screen like this. Wrong side. And so then that's when I have to then begin to renew my mind and think, you see. But normally I'm driving without thinking. Oh no, you can't do that. You can, because has anybody ever driven somewhere, gone down a street and suddenly thought, what am I doing down here? I didn't mean to come down here. Why did I turn down here? I remember doing it. I'm thinking, yeah, I remember we were going to buy a house down this road further on, but that was years back. So what am I doing down here? I was just in auto mode for some reason, and I just went down this street. And realized, whoa, what am I doing here? So there are things within us that just, there's this automatic, habitual thing that goes on. And there are good habits to have,
yeah.
But there are also bad habits that need to be broken.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah,
definitely. You see, our spirit is constantly giving to our soul, to our mind, to our body and our brain. See where the arrows are going? It's constantly giving. The spirit speaks to the soul, to the mind section, that then ministers into the body and the brain. Now, there are some littler, smaller arrows underneath. And we find there that the brain and the body is trying to tell the mind, the soulish man, what to do. And the brain and the soulish man is trying to tell the spirit what we should be doing. It is the wrong way around. That is fallen man. The right way around is when the Spirit of God is moving through us.
Yeah.
That He directs us and leads us. And we listen to the Spirit of God and He can give us great wisdom. Great knowledge and understanding. We see as we read even in the Old Testament. Where David sought the Lord and said, "What should I do?" His family and all his friends had been taken captive and he prayed, "Lord, what should I do?" The people wanted to stone David.
Yeah.
But David did not use his mind. Sorry, let's clarify this. David did not use his brain. He used his mind, his soulish man, and began to connect with his spirit, and his spirit spoke to God. And then God spoke to his spirit and his spirit spoke to his soulish man, to his mind. And then they engaged brain.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And they began to do things. And he went and God said to him, "Go and follow. Overtake them and you shall recover everything."
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God will see recovery. God will see that we see things changing.
Yes.
Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says this. "For as he thinks
yes.
within himself, so is he."
Yes.
What's you thinking like?
What is
that? What's you thinking like? Sometimes we get thoughts which imprison us. Sometimes we have confessions that came from our thoughts that imprison us. I preach a message on the fanatic in the attic and the fella in the cellar. It's about changing your thinking. It's about changing what you're hearing. The world will constantly on the TV be ministering fear. Constantly ministering fear, and yet the Word of God ministers faith,
yeah.
ministers hope.
Yeah.
We have a sure and certain hope in Christ Jesus. It didn't say we might have, we might be able to, or we could maybe have. There's none of that. It says it is a sure and certain. In other words, there's no argument. There's no question. It's certain. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Tell yourself it's going to happen. I'm changing. God's going to fill me. God's going to heal me. God's going to deliver me. It's going to happen. It's certain. It's a certainty. Will you let me get to that? Hush, girl. These ladies, glory to God. Praise God. And so as we think, that thinking is desire. Have you ever desired to do something?
Yeah.
Bev did. Bev, I don't know whether she desired, but last Sunday she somehow said, "I've never been up back of a motorbike." And then somebody said to her, "Well, do you want to?" And next thing, there she was. But have you ever had a desire that was so, that you wanted to do something so badly, so much? Hmm? Anybody? Yeah? Have you done it yet?
Some.
Yeah, some of it. It's great, isn't it? But you see, when you've got a desire, you don't let anything stand in the way. You'll climb over the fences. You'll climb over the walls. You'll push through. There was a woman in the Bible. We don't know her name. But what we do know is that she had an issue of blood. That's all we know about her. All we know is that she spent everything. She had a desire to be healed. And then one day, she heard about Jesus, the Messiah, the healer. And she pressed through that crowd. You see, there was a desire within her. She was driven. She was driven. And she pressed. You see, she was doing things that she should not have done. She should not have been in a crowd. She should not have been touching other people. It was against the law. She's unclean. I don't know how many people she touched, but she touched a lot of people, I'll tell you. As she fought her way through on her hands and knees, however she made it, but she got through.
Yeah.
And she just reached and touched the garment.
Yeah.
Wow. Of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus immediately sensed virtue. He says, leave his body. You see, we sent a quilt out, didn't we? Believing that God will do a work through it.
Amen.
The virtue and the power of God will be released in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This woman reached out and grabbed hold of the hem of Jesus, and for that split second, there was a release of power from the throne room of God.
Amen.
And Jesus says, who touched me? You know, all his disciples, come on, Jesus. Give us a break. Everybody's reaching out and doing this and what? No. Who touched me? They see there's a difference. There is a difference of touching Jesus. He can be the one who just passes by and you just, oh, guess what? I touched Jesus, you know. What did you get? Nothing. No. The desire that was in her was to touch Jesus and receive her miracle. That desire was so strong, no law, no crowd, no weakness, no sickness, nothing was going to stand in that way until she got her desire fulfilled. A drug addict, he will go miles to get his drugs.
Yeah.
Alcoholic, they'll go miles, they'll spend everything, they'll do anything to get that drink. And then you say to him, come to church. Oh, I can't make church. But it's just down the road from you. Oh, I won't be able to make it. No. If we're giving out free drugs, to be here then. That which I desired the most. You see how powerful desire is? Desire will overtake willpower. Desire will overtake willpower. How we think affects our spirit man.
Yeah.
And having affected our spirit man, it will affect our soul.
Yeah.
Having affected our soul, it will also affect our bodies.
Yeah.
It will also, from that point on, it will affect people around us.
Mm.
Have you noticed how when you get a negative person around you, what it does to you. Drains you. Absolutely draining. And what do you have to do? You have to go back to the Word and back to God and have to be filled. Recharged. Because you've been drained. Your battery, your spiritual battery has been drained by the negativeness. This world is full of so much negativeness. Negativity. And yet the Word of God is filled with so much positivity. It's filled with so many blessings. God wants you to know this. I used to have a boss. He was so negative. I used to be the opposite, you see, so we made a team. But sometimes it was hard work. But we have to press in and we have to see God moving in power. Joshua, he says in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 says this. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 says this. And if it seems evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye will dwell. But Joshua says, but ask for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah God. Hallelujah. You see, he had a desire to see God fulfilled in his family's life. He had a desire to serve God to the fullest. And he made a declaration. And he began to speak it out. His soul was longing after God. His mind was connected. You see, so many people say, you know, your soul, what is your soul? It's your mind. Well, what is your mind? You can't see either of them. Your brain is like the computer. They can see that. We have the ability to make choices. What we choose sets the direction of our destiny. Therefore, we need to choose wisely. We need to choose wisely. We need to choose who we, what we listen to, who we're listening to, and we need to learn to choose wisely. And the Word of God directs us. If you listen to the wrong things, you'll choose the wrong things. If you don't listen to the Spirit of God, if you don't listen to the right thoughts, you'll get the wrong attitude and you'll choose the wrong things. And you'll make mistakes. And by that, you will begin to hinder your own life's growth. You'll actually affect your own health in your body. Our choices are important. You see, when we look at that chart up there, your soul, your mind, it has one foot in your body. It has another foot in the spirit. It's there. It's torn between. You see, before God, you were never double-minded. You always knew what you wanted to do. Because that's the way the old nature works. But when you came to Jesus and you were born again, it says in James, that's when you became a double-minded person. You have a choice to make now. Do I do that which is following God, or do I do what the other part of me wants to do? Because we're in that process where we need to renew our soulish man. And in renewing our soulish man, then our soulish man will have an effect upon our body and upon our brain, and will rewire our brain.
Amen.
We've got to rewire our thinking. And that's why so often I say to you, read the Word of God out aloud. It's a rewiring process that goes along. And it will begin to change the connections in your brain. It will give you a new processor.
Yeah.
It will bring your processor up to date.
Oh,
hallelujah. As David says, hit the reset button with the Word of God.
Oh,
you can change your brain.
Amen.
With your mind, with your soulish man. And essentially, you begin to renew. You renew your mind, and your then your brain begins to get new connections.
Amen.
Tell me, I was reading something the other day, and that every morning that you wake up, your brain has new nerve connections in that morning. It has been creating new connections.
Wow.
What are you going to feed those new connections with? Are you going to feed them with the garbage of EastEnders, Home and Away, and all that junk, fear, doubt, unbelief, blasphemy, blaspheming? Or are you going to feed it on the Word of God?
Yeah.
Are you going to feed it on the good things of God? If you begin to feed those new nerve-ending connections within your brain cells, they will begin to operate in a new pattern and a new form. And the old that was there will eventually die off. And the new has come to replace them. But what do with the new? You see, young Joshua was born. Then the thing now is in his birth, and as he grows, they'll be teaching, showing. And in showing him, they'll be creating in these brain cells a pattern, a format. Connections to follow Jesus, to live the life of expectancy in Christ Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. Romans chapter 12.
Yeah.
And I know occasionally I keep coming back to this one, but there is such truth in this. Romans chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. My version says, do not be conformed. Don't be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let that soulish man, let that man, that mind, be transformed by the Word of God. And let that Word of God begin to be implanted into the brain, making new connections, making a new purpose and a new hope.
Yeah.
He says that you may prove. It's for you to prove. It's for you to prove. That you may prove what is the will of God.
Yeah.
That which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah.
Verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God allotted to each the measure of faith. That's a message in its own. The measure of faith. Today, as we look around, we look at each other. God has not given more faith to me than he has to you. It is the same measure of faith that God has given to me as he has given to you. The ultimate thing now is, what do we do with that faith? How do we cause that faith to grow? How do we cause God to manifest through our faith? It's by the Word of God. the renewing of our mind. That we don't let the doubts, the fears, the unbeliefs, the mights, the maybes, the coulds of this world take over what God has said. If God said it, He said it.
Amen.
If God said it, He's going to do it. 25 years ago, God said we had a building. God told us it was ours. God told us that it wasn't going to be expensive. God said the money was there.
Yeah.
How? In the natural, impossible. But in the spirit, God said,
amen.
It's possible.
Yes.
It is God of the Him possible.
Yes.
Glory to God. You see, the world says it's impossible. Can't happen. It's never going to happen. That's what the old nature sees and tries to say. But you see, when the Spirit talks to the Father, and the Father talks to the Spirit, and He says, possible. He says, possible. He says, I've done it.
Yeah.
It's already. Does not the Bible say God has prepared for us works to walk in? Yeah? Guess what? That means those works are already prepared, ready for you to just simply and walk in. It's done. Sister, it is done. It's done. It's done. All I've got to do. Just got to walk in them. Don't try and make it complicated. Because that's what the world does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if?
Reason.
What about this? And you know, when we were in the process of this building, I had Christians sending me messages of doubt and fear and unbelief, telling me that somebody else in the Church of England, they were going to get this building. They had got first call on it. They needed it, and they, because they were Church of England, they had the right to have the first refusal. I sent the message back. God told me it's mine.
No, man, mine it is.
It's mine. So they don't get it, right? I didn't get a message back, by the way. Do you know something? They haven't really messaged me about
anything
since, really. Kind of like, yes. Yes, yes, yes. You see, it's the Spirit that speaks to my spirit, and my spirit tells my soulish mind, listen and follow this. And my body says, okay, let's do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, you and I can develop a strong spiritual connection, a strong spirit, through the choices that we make.
Yeah.
What are you doing preaching my message, Tracy? Yeah. You see, it's the choices that we make. Don't sit there and think, oh, you know, God will just do it and I'll just sit back and relax. No, no, no. You've got to connect. You've got to connect. You've got to make that connection. God did not create you to just do nothing. You know, when God created Adam, one of the first things he brought all the animals to him and said, you name them. Go forth and multiply. Do something.
Yeah.
Have you multiplied yet? Have you created another being similar to yourself? And I don't mean through childbirth neither. I mean spiritually.
Yeah.
Have we led somebody to Jesus? We're born. We were born for that purpose.
Yeah.
To bring forth a miracle. Oh, I can't do it. I'm afraid to speak. You see? Here you go. Words of the world. I'm afraid. I can't. I'm not equipped. I'm unable. The Spirit says, be bold. Be strong. For the Lord our God is with us. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord our God is with me. I am not afraid. No, 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 no. I am not afraid. See, the fear of man is a snare. It stops you from sharing Jesus. Somebody don't like it, tough. You know, if I go shopping and I've got somebody and they're taking, they want to take my money, they want to beep, beep my goods through, beep, beep. I start to somehow manage to share Jesus with them. They're either then interested or everything goes through the machine quicker. Beep, 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 get rid of this person. But I will make sure I endeavour to share the Christ. Plant a seed. I might be just seed planting. God waters, brings it forth, and somebody will reap a harvest on that. Praise His wonderful name. And that's what we're to do. Develop your spirit through the choices that you make. Let your mind be led by the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. I don't live in fear. Oh, what happens if I get sick? What happens if I get something down the family line that's hereditary? Well, guess what? When I was born again, we put to death the old man, the old nature, and suddenly I was born again. I was into a new family line. I was connected to God, and God's not sick. God does not have a hereditary disease in Him at all. The curse has been broken. He set the captives free. Oh, that's okay for you, Andrew, to talk. No, I'm not talking. That's what the Word of God tells me. It's standing on the promises of God. It's standing and saying, I am not being moved by what I see.
Amen.
I am only moved by the Word of God. And don't even look at me and say, it's all right for you. You've never gone through anything like this. You do not know what I've had to go through. You do not know my experiences. But this one thing that I do know is that I've had to press in. I've had to push and trust God.
Yeah.
I'm here because of that very reason. And that does not make me in a situation where the devil never bothers me. He's always buffeting me. He's always trying to knock me off track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I have a sure and certain hope. You know, we wrestle not against principalities and powers.
Right.
So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's what we're wrestling against. And when we spend time in the Word of God, our flesh comes in line with the Word of God. When we spend time in the Word of God, our soulish man, our minds connect with the Father. And we stop hearing the things of this world and we hear the things of God. And the things of God breathe life into us. And you know, if by our spirit and our and our soulish man is being breathed life, then that life which God is breathing unto us breathes into our very body, and it affects our body. You can think yourself sick. I'll say that again. You can think yourself sick. I used to do it as a kid when I didn't want to go to school. There's one or two. There's one or two that's been practicing that one, haven't you? Eh? God, I could go as white as a sheet, look as sick as a dog. My mum and dad were both working, off they went to work. Boom, boom, I'm fine after that. I didn't have to go to school, we'll send you a sick note. Oh, glory. What are you shaking your head at? It's true. And I did it more than once, I'll be honest. Hey, you know, time for confession. Did you do it as well, Shirley? Yeah, I tell you, I knew. Yeah, there you go. As a man thinketh, so he becomes. Oh, I'm sick. I don't want to go to school. I can't face it. You know, got exams or something coming. Got a lecturer, you know, a teacher you didn't like. Think, ooh, I hate that teacher. I'm not going. I'll pretend to be sick. Think I'm joking, don't you? It's possible. Doctors have even proved they've given people prescriptions and they've given them just chalk tablets and said, try this new drug. See how that works on you. So it's a revolutionary new drug. And they give them these pills. Come back a fortnight later. Oh, doctor, them pills are brilliant. I feel absolutely great. I can have some more of them. Yeah, sure. Get you. That's another prescription. They're taking chalk. As a man thinketh. You see, the soulish man is drawing power from the spirit. Or it can draw power from the world. You know? He's got two feet, one in either camp. Yeah, and that which you feed the most is what grows the most. And you need to feed your spirit on the Word of God, because your spirit is what should be in charge. We're not going on how we feel. We're going on the presence of God. We're going on sensing that precious anointing of God in our lives. Jesus did not go on his feelings. He went on his anointing. He went on that appointment that he had with God and that relationship. Your body is not in control of your mind. Your mind should be in control of your body. The mind, the soulish man, is stronger than the body.
Amen.
You're not a victim of your biology.
No, definitely.
You're not a victim of it. As I said, the woman with the issue of blood. Some people would have said, oh, there's nothing we can do. Well, they did. They just took her money and said, there's nothing we can do for her. She's just a victim of the circumstances. But when you meet Jesus, when you touch the Word, whatever it is, has to bow the knee.
Amen.
To the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever it is, has to bow the name. Bow its knee to the name of Jesus. You see, you cannot control circumstances in your life. You cannot control those situations that maybe are going on. But it is the way that you and I react is what you can control. The You know, somebody says something to you and you didn't like it. There are two responses, aren't there? Hello? Two responses, aren't there? Oh, well. Praise God, anyway. Or, did you hear what they said to me? I'll tell you what. I am going to get my own back. I'll sort them out, you know. I'll never speak to them again. Those, oh, it just so...
You shot yourself.
Who's suffering now? Who's got stress? Who's got the anxiety? You. The person that said it probably just... didn't even know they said it. Just what they said. Did you take offence or a gate? If you take offence, it's your problem. It's your problem. Because you picked it up. And you can put it down. You've got to come to that point that it's like, I'm not going to be moved by these words. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm only going to be moved by the Word of God. And we're to let the Word direct us and guide us. You know, Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 to 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that enter in that way. For the narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads into life, and there are few that find it. Not everybody will find the real truth of Jesus. You will only find it in a relationship by the Spirit with God. And we have to begin to work on that and develop that. It is important that you begin to work and develop. And let that Word become life into you. Put the next slide on, will you please? It says on that first line, good thinking equals good choices equals healthy thoughts. Yeah. Good thinking. Good choices equals healthy thoughts. Or you can take on what I just said earlier, toxic thinking. Toxic choices, toxic thoughts. And that will bring to you death. Bring destruction. Will bring sickness on you. I remember as over the years, there have been times past when we prayed for people. And one that comes to mind just at the moment is people who are suffering with arthritis. And historically we found with some in a number of circumstances, it has been because they were embittered with a circumstance, a situation, or a person, and it has brought upon them an arthritic complaint. Yeah. And we've had to bring that person to a place. And do you know they'd forgotten who it was? Gone. But the thing had already taken root. You know, it had... it was now in the brain. It had now set patterns that were functioning within the body. And so what it needed was that person to come to that place where the soul repented and forgave. Amen. And began to deal with that thought pattern. And begin to, by the Spirit, take the Word of God and do warfare against that thinking, because our thinking can bring us into captivity. And when they've done that, you know, there's something, they were released. They were healed. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second book of Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 3 through to 5 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but mighty before God. To the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Bringing every thought into captivity under the anointing of God. You see, when it says there, right there, it says in obedience to the obedience of Christ. Yeah. That word Christ means to the obedience of the anointing. Yeah. It's the anointing. There's a verse of scripture where it says the anointing breaks the yoke. See, Jesus Christ, it means Jesus, the Anointed One. The anointing breaks the yoke.
Amen.
How do we get that anointing? We spend time drinking and feeding our spirit. And that anointing will come upon us. Spending time in and with the presence of God, in and with other believers who are going in the same direction, who are pressing forward for the things of God, who are passionate about the work and the word of God, and are passionate about signs, wonders and miracles for the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 through to 11. Colossians 3. Chapter 3 and verses 10 through to 11. He says this, and having put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether it can be that Greek or Jew, uncircumcised, barbarian, Syrian, bondman and free, but Christ is all in all. The anointing of Jesus Christ is all in all to each and every one of us. That anointing is for you today. The presence of God is for you today. The forgiveness of God is for you today. To walk in the fullness of God is for you today. You and I, we have been designed to be able to observe ourselves, change ourselves through the power of the Word of God working in us.
Amen.
You know, you can see yourself and you can go away and think, oh, I did that, I shouldn't have done that. How am I going to change? For years I've been trying to change. How am I going to do it? The Word. It's the Word. Yeah, but it seems to be taking a long time. Well, it took you a long time to get into the state that you're in now. It didn't just happen overnight like that and you suddenly became like that. There's a process. Louise here, a process went on in her life when she was younger, until she just became a number. She became a nothing. She acted like she was nothing. She was fearful of nothing, in the sense that she was afraid of everything. She lived that life, unable really to go out and about, unable to fill her life to the full. And then David turned up on the scene with Jesus.
Amen.
That's all he got. Just Jesus. And he started to feed her Jesus. And she began to partake of Jesus. I remember the first day when she walked into this building. Frail. Timid. Shy. Afraid. Yeah? But you know, God of love touched her life. And as she ate more and more of the Word of God, that spirit of boldness has come upon her. It's driven out fear. It's driven out unbelief. It's driven out self-worth. It's brought a worthiness into her life. She was feeling unworthy. She was told she was nothing. She was told she was unworthy. And yet when Jesus came into her life, he told her how much he loved her. He told her how much she was worth. How much she meant to him. She had a fear of water. But she came and she was baptized. Hallelujah. You see, that's the work of Jesus. That's the work of the Word of God. That's the work of the Spirit moving in a person's life. Changing. Reshaping us. You see, the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of the Spirit makes us new. And so we make choices. But we make our choices from the Word of God through listening to the Spirit. Like Joshua said, choose you this day. Choose you this day who you will serve. Joshua had come through 40 years in that walk to the promised land. He spent the next 40 years battling to take the ground of the promised land. He spent 80 years of his 120 years of life trusting God. And at the coming of it, the ending of his days of around 120 years, he says, but ask for me. Oh, he says, ask for me, he says, and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you know, he's not given up. The Lord gave him another 120. I guess he'd have still been standing there and asked for me and my house. We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
As I said, each day we wake up in the morning and new nerve cells are birthed in our brain. We choose how to wire them. Do we wire them with bad thoughts or do we wire them with good thoughts from the Word of God? We should be wired for love. As I said earlier about a child, fear is learned habits. A child is not afraid. A child will stand on the garage roof and say, and it will jump. Yeah, it will jump. A child will stand on a roof and daddy will say, jump, I'll catch you. No fear. Child just jumps because knows daddy will catch. You've seen it done, haven't you? Jump, I'll catch you. Some of you have probably done it. A child's trust in the Father. Are we trusting our Heavenly Father? Are we trusting Him? Let's have new responses to the Spirit of God. Let's have great new responses to the Word of God. And let them become natural, not forced. Trusting in Him. Trusting in Him to do what He has for us to do. Having the mind of Christ placed upon us. You today are made in the image of God. Through the knowledge of the Word of God, you and I become overcomers in Christ Jesus. I'm an overcomer. Are you? Are you an overcomer? More than a conqueror, it says. Look at somebody and say, I'm an overcomer. No matter what the situation is, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror because God said, I'm an overcomer. The Word tells me, I'm an overcomer. You see, some of you aren't saying it with a lot of conviction. Yeah, that's another one. Greater is He that lives in me than him that's in the world. You see, you need to, you and I need to be declaring these things to deal with this man. To deal with this woman. So that this being is ruled by the Spirit of God in us. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I wish you'd shut up. I will in a minute. But what I want you to catch is that this thinking, this person that has been ruled by the world and ruled by other people, has been criticized, condemned, and molded into an ugly shape. The Spirit of God wants to work within the soulish man. And then together, they reshape and they change this person. Three in one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one. Spirit, soul, body. Guess what? I'm a copy of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Copy of the heavenly things. Oh, that just gives me goosebumps. Oh, glory to God. I'm excited. I'm excited. Thinking good things. Good choices. Healthy thoughts. That's what you need to be doing. And when you get those toxic thoughts, take them captive. Take them captive. Bring the sword of the Spirit and slay them. Hallelujah. Slay the giants in the land. This land. You know, so often we think, oh, in the land. No, deal with this land first. We're made of the land. Slay the giants in this land. And then when we do that, we can take over and minister under the power of the Spirit of God for His praise and for His glory. Become soul, become spirit, soul and body. Not body, soul and spirit. Put them in the right order. Put them in the right place. Put the Word of God in its right place. Turn the TV off. Turn off Facebook. Have a break from it. You know, give it a rest. You haven't got 1,000 friends, they're just acquaintances, glory to God. We sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. He's not on Facebook. No. Oh yeah, you might have comments that are put on Facebook about Jesus, but Jesus is not on Facebook. No. You don't talk to him. I know we use it as a church to encourage one another, but we're always encouraging one another. But you know, David, where does he get his encouragement from? My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. That's where it comes from. And that's what why we put on. When we get something from God, we say, oh, I just want to share this. because it's blessed me. It's encouraged me. I'm excited. I'm excited about tomorrow. And because He lives in me, I can face tomorrow. Glory to God. All fear is gone. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Let's just pray.